Merry Christmas. It's a blessing to meet and worship God together today. And, you know, when we have a service on Christmas, it does change our plans a little bit. But I'm thankful for it as well, because it gives us an unusual opportunity to celebrate on the day, or the day before, in this case, Christmas Eve. I don't know, Christmas is kind of a two-day event a lot of times anymore. And so it's a blessing to have today. And I'm thankful that you're here. I've mentioned that already. And of course, as we celebrate Christmas, as you celebrate with family and friends, Christmas always includes the giving and receiving of gifts. This is normal. And I expect many of the children here, and there aren't too many children, smaller children in the room right now, most of them are in their classes, but I suspect many of the children in the building, many of the children in the community, around the world, they have made at least general tallies of the gifts that are in the tree, the gifts that they're planning to receive. They've kind of eyeballed, done a rough count in their minds, and they're looking forward to that. If some of you adults have done the same, I don't want to know about it. It's natural for us to look forward to receiving gifts. But as we learn and we grow, I think we increasingly understand the truth that's stated in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul is writing, or speaking, he says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Children don't see that. They don't understand that. They might accept it, but they don't really identify with it. The older we get, hopefully, the more that we see that, certainly as we know the Lord and seek to please him, seek to walk with him, to become like him, we understand that more and more. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving always includes a sacrifice, and that's why we don't like to do it so much. But when we do that, we are blessed in return. Giving and receiving gifts at Christmas is an interesting custom. And when we give and receive gifts, really for any reason, but Christmas is the context here, these things can have significant spiritual and emotional aspects to it, effects to it. I think God intended it to be that way. This is just my opinion, but I think that there is generally, in most cultures, most places, there is a calming, peaceful, joyful atmosphere around Christmas time. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if that is just a blessing from God, just for us being willing to observe his birthday. We don't always, Christ's birthday, of course, we are observing it now. We don't know that Christ was born on December 25th, but we're taking time to commemorate and celebrate his birthday. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if God just gives a blessing generally to humans, to cultures that do that. And we don't all celebrate the same way. Not everyone celebrates biblically. Some people are celebrating Santa Claus, and they don't want to celebrate Christ. But I think the more that we do honor the Lord at a certain time of year, like Christmas, I think that God does give blessings in that way. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he does that. And giving and receiving gifts can be that way as well. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we do receive good things from God. We do receive gifts from other people. And God gives gifts to us. And there is a blessing that is included in all of that. I think this is just one example of inherent benefits that God built into his creation. I've seen things studied about something like prayer. There are physical benefits to praying, and I find that interesting. Prayer is a spiritual work, and especially people can pray to God without really understanding everything about it. They're just trying to talk to God, and I think there are spiritual benefits when we talk to God. But there are physical benefits as well. And I think God does that in a lot of areas of life. He builds benefits into practicing physical things that we may not associate with the benefits that he gives us. But I think giving and receiving gifts can be that way. And this morning, I'd like us to consider the connection between gifts and humility. Gifts and humility is the title of the message. And there is a connection between giving and receiving gifts and humility. That we'll be blessed by considering that this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you give us. You give us life. Physical life is a gift from God. You give us the ability to continue living our bodies that continue to function, a heart that continues beating when we don't even think about it, lungs that continue to process oxygen, and we don't even think about it, we're not even aware of it. Lord, thank you for relationships. Thank you for the ability to have minds that work and inventiveness and creativity to improve our world around us. Lord, thank you for a spirit that can communicate with God's spirit. So many blessings and gifts that you've given us. Lord, thank you for giving us the Son of God who came to die for us and shed his blood so that we could receive forgiveness of sin, another great blessing and gift of God. Lord, thank you that we can give gifts to others. Help us to see the truth that is, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And Lord, you are the ultimate example of that. I pray that you would help us to see the connection between gifts and humility. Speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to praise you and leave this place praising and glorifying God for the gifts that you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to talk for a couple of minutes about the risk or risks of gift giving. Is buying and giving gifts a chore for you? I think it is a chore for some people. It's something that I haven't always enjoyed. It's maybe been a dread at times for me, and maybe that had something to do with the fact that, you know, I would procrastinate on Christmas gifts until it was December 22nd, and now I'm panic buying. And that's not a lot of fun, but I think people have different reasons, maybe, for not really enjoying giving gifts or shopping for gifts. One reason for this might be that gifts aren't your love language, and maybe you've heard that term before, a love language. And there are different ways that we express love. We might express it through giving a hug or speaking words of love. We might express it through spending time with someone. And gifts is another way that we can express love. I'm showing my love by giving a gift. And not everybody does that. Not everybody identifies with that, really connects with that. And that might be a reason why giving gifts is a little bit of a chore for you. You aren't emotionally engaged by giving or receiving gifts. Maybe you don't consider yourself good at thinking of gift ideas. And so you feel inadequate at communicating love through giving. It's just not something you're very good at, and you feel like the gifts you give are never really good expressions of your love. Maybe you're afraid of giving a dud gift. And there's nothing worse, maybe, than seeing your sincerely given gift end up in a white elephant gift exchange. Has that ever happened to you? I don't think we want to see that. Hey, I gave that to you. I thought you liked it. And now you're making, you know, we don't want our gift to be that kind of gift. And if that's something that you struggle with, maybe we would say that you feel insufficient to please or bless the other person with your gift. It's hard to buy something for somebody who already has everything. You know, whenever they want something, they just go buy it. So how do I give them a gift that really will be what they want or be what they need? It's hard to give a gift to somebody like that. And there might be other reasons as well why it can be a chore for us to give gifts, to buy gifts. Maybe if you aren't emotionally stirred through gift giving, I think it's okay. There's nothing sinful about that. Some people are just that way, but I think there's also room for us to grow in that area. There's room for me to grow in that area, and I have grown some already in that. Gift giving, as we'll see, gift giving is a godly behavior. It's something that God does. He gives gifts. And it's good for us to grow and be willing to emulate God in that way. These other reasons that I mentioned for somebody who dreads gift giving, I think ultimately we might be able to tie them to a negative character trait that plagues us all. There's a risk in gift giving. And I'm talking about the negative trait of pride. And we might not think of it this way, we might not even identify that that's the presence of that, but there's a risk in giving a gift that will be unneeded. They already have everything, I'm gonna give them something, and they don't need it, they'll just disregard it. They already have one of those things. There's a risk in giving a gift. And if you picture yourself giving a gift like that to someone like that, oh, I already have one of these. We don't really want to be in that position. Maybe there's a risk that the gift will not be good enough. I'm giving them something that's valuable, that's high quality to me, but they see it as cheap and and worthless. There's risk there that's far below their standard of quality. Maybe there's a risk that the gift will be disliked. They just simply don't want what you gave them. You think it's attractive, and they don't like it. They just don't want it. They don't want the thing that you gave them. And there's risks in this. When we think about a gift that is not appreciated, these are reasons why. Maybe there are other reasons as well. And the reason that there's a risk here, the reason that we might not want to be in that position, is because giving gifts is an inherently personal act. And because it is, it can be hurtful when you see that your gift has missed the mark. You know, I meant something really positive and emotional here, really, really meant to demonstrate love, but it didn't come across that way. It was disregarded, it was disliked, it was discarded. And so when that happens, it's hurtful. We take it personally. We tend to take it personally. It's natural to do that, to take that personally, because gifts are personal. And I think if we try to make a gift into an impersonal thing, oh, it doesn't matter. If you don't like it, that's fine. Just throw it away. I don't care. And now it's impersonal. I think when we do that, we're robbing the whole process of one of the most meaningful things of it. And it's good to not have our feelings hurt. It's good to not be offended and to not be bitter. I'm not saying that's okay. It's good for us to have understanding when we just made a mistake. That happens. I thought it was a good gift, and I understand. It's good for us to not allow ourselves to be vulnerable in that way, but to try to make a gift-giving into impersonal things, I think is we're robbing ourselves and others. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It is blessed to give, and so we shouldn't make it impersonal. Because gift-giving is inherently emotional and personal, we can risk emotional pain if the gift is not received in the manner in which we gave it. And I think a lot of times when we might think that risk, that would happen, when that risk is uncomfortably high, then we'd rather not give a gift at all. Think about giving your heart to someone. That often happens in marriage, should happen in marriage, maybe most often in life. That would be the arena for it, is in marriage, giving your heart to somebody. When people are romantically involved, that's what they're doing. And when you give up your heart to somebody, and they just step on it, they cast it aside, and it doesn't mean anything, that's very hurtful. That would be the ultimate gift that we're capable of giving someone. It's just money, okay, you didn't like my money gift, fine, that's okay, you know, it's not that big a deal. But my heart, that's really valuable to me. And when I give it as a gift, this is a very personal act. And when that's thrown aside, that's very hurtful. And to various levels, gift giving, even at Christmas, is that way. This is a gift I'm giving, and I really hope they like it, and I want to show my love. This is a personal act. And they just kind of brush it aside. It can hurt, because gift giving is personal. And I mentioned pride earlier, because pride has a part in this when this sort of thing happens. It can influence our response when we feel that someone has failed to appreciate our gift sufficiently. I gave them a gift. I really put time into this. I wanted it to be good. And they just kind of brushed it. So they didn't even like it. And when that happens, it hurts me. And my pride rises up. And I respond in a way that I shouldn't. And pride identifies itself that way. Because when our gift isn't appreciated, we feel a form of rejection. Gift giving is personal. And you just rejected my gift. And so now I feel rejected. This is how it normally and naturally works. And we can respond in pride, which often takes the form of anger. We can think or say things like, well, they're just impossible to please. I mean, look at what I gave them. And they didn't like, it's their fault. We're angry. We can say, they're too good for my gift. They just think they're better than other people. How can they expect a gift they will like when they just buy everything they ever want? We can be angry because we're hurt. Feel rejection. They were so rude to do that with the gift I gave them. How could they do that to me? These are angry responses that come out of pride, which is saying, I deserve better than this. And I'm getting something I don't deserve. How dare they? Because we're personally affected by their response. This is the risk of gift giving. If you never give a gift, then you'll never have to experience the rejection that comes when somebody doesn't like your gift. Or when it just it doesn't connect with them the way that you intended. There is a risk in giving gifts. It's a personal gesture, and when you extend yourself in a personal way, there is a possibility for rejection. And I want us to talk about, look at the humility in gift giving for a moment. Again, we're going to look at the connection between gifts and humility, but the first part of that is the humility of gift giving. There are many things to learn about how to give good gifts to others, and a friend of mine is very good at giving gifts, very good at shopping for gifts and knowing what to get, and I admire that because that is not me. It takes more work for me to give good gifts. And here are some things that I've learned. No doubt you could add some things that you've learned as well, but here are some things that we should learn about giving good gifts to others. First, we need to get to know their tastes. This person that we're getting a gift for, we need to get to know their tastes, the things that they have, the things they like to use. What do they like? What do they already have? What do they like to use? Let me try to find something that will match with that. Be regularly watching for these things. Instead of, you know, going out panic buying on December 23rd, spend some weeks, months, even all years, even better, on the lookout for things that will match with that, and be ready to buy those things when they come in front of you. Also, put personal touches on the gift so that they know it's from your heart and not obligatory. Giving somebody a $10 bill is still a gift and can still be appreciated, but giving something to somebody who is it's a thing, it's something that took creativity, something that took thought, something that matches with their tastes, and it's worth $10, that is more meaningful than maybe simply $10. It takes some work. But I think the biggest part of gift giving has nothing to do with the gift at all, but has to do with your spirit. And I'm talking about humility in this case. Christ said in Luke 11:28, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." It's a very simple statement, a very true statement. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. When we hear the word of God and we say, that is valuable, I'm going to keep that in my heart, I'm going to obey that, that brings real results in our life. And God promises that. When we obey God, it changes us for the better. It makes our life much better when we will follow what God said because we received it, we accepted it, and we obey it now. Blessed are they. The word blessed, it brings happiness. That word blessed means how happy, how joyful. Blessed are they. That's the reward for hearing the word of God and keeping it. But think about the word, or the verse that I read earlier in Acts 20:35. Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There is real blessing, real joy, real happiness in giving a gift. This word blessed is a powerful word if we dread or dislike the giving of gifts. There's something missing there, because giving is blessing. Giving is joyful. But it does require humility of us. It requires humility to give a gift and have it be blessing. And I'm going to show us that. I'm going to demonstrate that for us. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3, 16. This is the greatest gift that has ever been given. John 3:16. Many of us perhaps could just quote it without reading it, but it's good to read the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift was the only begotten Son of God. But there are some elements to this giving that show us humility. There's so much we could look at from this one verse. But I want us to notice the humility in gift giving here. True giving, and this applies to Christmas gifts as well as any other kind of gift, true giving is a natural result of love. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He loved the world so much it moved him to give something. True love, true giving, I should say, is a natural result of love. True charity, that's the Bible word that we see often for love. Charity, love, isn't about what I get out of it. I love them, and I love them because I want something. True charity is about giving. True love is about giving. I want what's best for them. My focus is on them. That's the reason for giving. True giving is a natural result of love. If I love them and I want what's best for them, I want to bless them, I'm going to try to find a way to give to them. And if we won't give anything to anyone, it could accurately be questioned whether we love others or if we're just self-focused. True charity isn't about what I get out of it. True charity is concerned with what is best for others. True charity is humble, and we see that in 1 Corinthians 13. We won't take the time to turn there, but it talks about charity vaunteth not itself, doesn't lift itself up, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, seeketh what's best for others. Real love and real charity is not about me, it's about you, it's about others. If you love, you have to seek what's best for others, and that implies, that includes humility. Because if I'm better than you, then I'm going to look for what's best for me, and I'm proud in that case. But if I'm humble, I'll say, no, it doesn't really matter what I want here. I love you, and I'm going to meet your needs. I'm going to look for what's best for you. I'm going to try to bring your help and bring blessing to you. True giving is a natural result of love, and for God to love the world and to send his only begotten Son to the world to die for sinners. We talked in the Sunday school hour about sin. You and I, we get to thinking about our sin, and we say, why would God love us? What an amazing act of humility for God to stoop down to our level and send his Son to die for us. Why would he, we could even say, squander in a sense, in our human understanding. I'm not saying that God made a mistake. God is all wise. He did the right thing. He did the thing that brings glory to his name. But I think about the value of the only begotten Son of God and the value of sinners. And I would say, why would God squander that on us? Because he loves us. What an act of humility that Christ would set aside what he would prefer. God, Christ did not want to take on our sin. That's not something that felt good to him. He is holy. And it was the greatest trial and affliction that he could go through to take on our sin so that we could be saved, to give us his righteousness in exchange for our sin. But what an act of humility, putting us before him. That's what love does. That's what gift giving does. It's a natural result of love. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. The only one he had. True giving is a personal investment. There are different levels of gifts that we give, and you understand that. Maybe you give a coworker a gift, and you just spend a few dollars. You know, just it's a nice gesture to show that you care about them. But when you give your spouse something, or you give your child something, you give your parents something, now that's a different level of gift, and you want to do more for them. You want to give them more because there's a higher level of love there, a higher level of appreciation. There are different levels of gifts, and we sacrifice most for those who are most precious to us. That's normal. It's okay to do that. When we invest in others sincerely, we are lowering ourselves and lifting them up. If I show that I'm willing to spend a lot of money to buy you a gift, I'm saying that you are worth more than me keeping that money. It's better for you to have that gift, to have all of that I've invested into that, than it is for me to keep that. That's not selfish. That's humble. It's unselfish. It's giving. It's loving. And for God to say, what is the world worth? What are sinners worth? They are worth my only begotten Son. You dads, if you only had one child, one son, would you give him up for a world of sinners who hated you? For a world of sinners who reviled you and rejected you and violated your law and transgressed against you every single day of their lives? I don't think we can fully understand that love. But true giving is a personal investment. It's not hard to give a gift if I can use somebody else's bank account. Sure, let's just buy some. I'll use their money to get you a gift. That's not hard to do. But if I have to give something, I think of the widow woman that Christ saw put in two mites. T- tiny coin, just a penny or two, into the offering of the temple. No big deal, but it was all she had. It was a very big gift to her. She didn't have anything else. She gave everything. It's a personal investment. That's what true giving is. For God so loved the world. True giving is a natural result of love, and it's a personal investment that he gave his only begotten son. Number three, true giving doesn't make demands. Because this verse says that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever. God knew, and we know by experience, there are going to be people that believe in Christ, and there are going to be people that don't. And true giving doesn't make demands. Well, if I'm going to give this to you, you have to promise to me that you've got to use it in a certain way. Hey, if I'm going to give a gift to you, you have to promise that you're going to like it. Otherwise, I'm like, no, that's not a gift. That's a contract. That's an agreement. That is something else, but it's not a gift. I love you, and I'm going to invest myself in giving you something, and it's given with no strings attached. I'm not making any demands. I want you to be benefited. It's yours. It's a gift. God gave his only begotten Son knowing that many sinners would reject him, knowing that many sinners would not believe on Christ. But the gift of his Son was for whosoever believeth in him. Whoever believes in Christ may be saved. It requires humility to give that way. Because when we give a gift, we know, hey, I might have missed the mark on this. They might not like it. They might already have one. But it's a gift. If I'm going to give it to them, it becomes theirs, and they can do with it whatever they please. It's theirs. That's what a gift is. It requires humility. Because what if they reject it? They're hurt a little bit. But I'm going to want their good. I want them to make that choice. It's a gift. Number four, true giving desires that others be blessed. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Choosing a gift should be done to what others, according to what others want and need, not what I think they should have. Well, if they were smart with how they live their life, then they would want one of these. You know, I like this thing, and I know how much of a blessing it is, and so if they're thinking right, they're going to like this too. No, it's tailored to them. That's what a gift is all about. It desires that others be blessed. It puts their needs, their desires, above our own. I'm sure we've probably all received a gift that when we opened it, it didn't really impress us. Oh, really? This is? Oh, thanks. This is not very exciting, but okay. But then the more you use it, the more you see, oh, this really is handy to have around. This really is nice to own, nice to use. Maybe you realize it was one of the best gifts you'd ever been given. Salvation is that way. It's the greatest gift we can receive. God so loved the world, he invested himself. He gave his only begotten Son. He didn't make demands on us. He didn't force anyone to be saved. He allows us to choose whether we're going to accept that gift or not. And it's for our good, so that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. If only more people would recognize that. If only more people would truly accept this. God models perfect humility in the giving of this greatest gift. He humbled himself to love us as sinners, who made ourselves his enemies. I think about Adam and Eve and the blessings that they were given in the Garden of Eden. A perfect world, innocence in their character. The only thing that they could not do was eat the fruit from one tree. Only one command in their life. Everything else was legal. Everything else was fine and righteous. And what did they do? They forfeited all of the good things that God had given them to eat that one kind of fruit. Think about the rejection the message of rejection that would have sent to God. I created a perfect world. I created you with a perfect body. No sickness, no injuries, no pain of any sort, no hardship, no sweat or toil. And yet you throw all that away to eat this one fruit? You throw away the daily fellowship that I have with you just so you can eat that fruit? I told you in the day that you ate thereof, you would die. And they did. They were separated from God. What rejection. And he knew that was going to happen. He gave them a choice anyway. He allowed them to choose. He humbled himself to love us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Turn to Romans chapter 5. God models perfect humility. And if anyone, if there was ever anyone that didn't need to be humble, it would be God. He is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everything good. But he's also humble, which is an amazing thought. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. A good man's worth someone dying for. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing worthwhile about unforgiven sinners. We are vile, we are corrupt, we are perverse, and yet that is when Christ came to die for us. God sent his only begotten Son. What humility exhibited by God. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Why would God do this? Because he loves us. He wants our good. He wants our best. God humbled himself to give us the gift of his only begotten Son. He gave us the most valuable gift he could. He invested everything possible. John 3:35 says, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. It was a great sacrifice for God to send his only begotten Son. He loves us. In Matthew 17, verse 5, God the Father is speaking from heaven, and he says, this, speaking of Christ, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It was a sacrifice for God to give Christ to us, but he did. He loved to do that. He wanted to do that. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 20. God models humility, and we ought to have humility in the gift giving. For the Father loveth the Son, John 5, 20, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. God lets us choose. He humbly gave the gift of his only begotten Son, the most valuable gift there is. He invested everything possible so that you could be saved. And he humbly lets us choose whether or not we will accept his free gift. Romans chapter 10 talks about, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Talks about whether or not we will accept the free gift of God's salvation. He lets us choose. And when he knows what's best for us. He knows that salvation will bring eternal life. He knows that it will bring us into a relationship with God. It will give us purpose. It will give us joy. It will bring, take away the guilt of our sin. It will give us a hope in heaven. He knows what's best for us. He knows what we need to do, what we need to accept, and yet he still allows us to choose whether or not we will. Such humility. How easy it would be for God. If I were God, I would be tempted to say, look, you don't understand what's better for you, what's best for you. Let me do it. Let me fix it. I'll make it better than you ever could. But when we do that to each other, we're demonstrating pride. You don't understand. I know better. Let me just do this for you. True gift giving is humble. You can reject it if you want. I'm going to let you make that choice. Putting you above me in this example. The Lord lets us choose. He's demonstrating humility. He also humbly guarantees that all who will be saved will receive everlasting life. Well, I'm going to send my Son to die, and his shed blood will wipe away sin, except for that guy. That guy's crossed a line. This person here, they've sinned one too many times. They're excluded. I'm not going to extend it to him. No, it doesn't matter who you are. Christ's blood is enough to wash away your sin. Some people try to convince themselves that they're too wicked to be saved, but that's false. God, in his humility, in his grace, guarantees that all who will be saved will receive everlasting life. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Jesus said in Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. How do you be qualified to receive God's gift of salvation? You just have to see yourself as a sinner. You have to see that you need a Savior. You just have to trust that Christ alone is enough to save you. You just have to give him your sin, repent of it, change your mind about it, let him have your life. Giving like God does demands a lot of humility. But what if they reject it? It's their choice. What if they don't like it? That's up to them. What if they don't see that it's really valuable? What if it's too much of a sacrifice? God didn't spare any sacrifice for us. He showed us love. A true gift demands sacrifice. True gift is a result of love. And it demands much humility to give, like God does. Let's talk about the humility of gift receiving for a moment. There is humility in giving a gift, but there's also humility in receiving a gift. Our eyes may usually light up at the idea of receiving a gift. Ooh, I wonder what I'm going to get. But it takes humility to accept a gift. We accept someone else's generosity or kindness. Some people have trouble doing this. They don't want to be the object of a person's charity. I don't need their charity. I don't need them to patronize me. Some people don't like gifts for that reason. Why do they think I need this? What are they saying about me? I don't know if I want to accept this. It takes humility. It takes humility to appreciate the gesture, even if the gift is off target. Hey, thank you. I probably will never use this, but I'm still going to appreciate it because of what it means. There's some humility there. Sometimes we can be inconvenienced by a gift. Maybe you were given a gift and it cost money to actually use that gift, or it cost you time to actually use. Why did they give it to me? But we can still appreciate them. Sometimes we have to love them and in order to appropriately accept the gift. It takes some humility. Again, we can be touched by the heart of the person giving us gift. I mentioned a child coloring a picture. Thank you. I don't even know what this is. I don't know how to interpret this. But it's an expression of your heart. And that takes some humility to accept. The humility of gift receiving. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Generally, children don't have a problem accepting gifts. And maybe that's because they are more naturally, the younger they are, they're more naturally humble. They don't struggle with that like adults do. And we would think that if God were giving us a gift, it would be so, that the standards would be so high that it wouldn't take any humility for us, because it's going to be great. Of course it would be great. Why wouldn't I want to accept it? It's God giving it. If a billionaire were giving you a gift, you probably wouldn't have any trouble thinking it's going to be up to your level of quality. I don't think we have any billionaires in the room. A trillionaire pocket change is much more than we earn in a year. So whatever they decide to give us is going to be great. I don't need any humility to accept that. How much more with God giving us a gift? But it does take humility to accept the perfect gift from the perfect God. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It takes humility to accept the greatest gift from Almighty God. It doesn't take humility to accept wages. If you work a job, it doesn't take humility to accept your paycheck. We work an honest day's work, we deserve an honest day's wages. It belongs to us. I don't need humility to accept wages. No humility is needed by the employer or the employee. The employer got what they bargained for. I hired you to give an honest day's work. You were hired to receive an honest day's wages. This is an agreement. There's no humility needed. Both parties got what they paid for. And I'm reminded of Romans 6:23, which says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what sinners have earned. Doesn't take any humility to accept that. The verse goes on, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift isn't paid for. That's why it's a gift. It's not earned. In many cases, it's not even deserved. Sometimes we feel obligation to give a gift. Well, they gave one to me, so I better get one for them. And that's more like wages. That's more like trading. That's more like payment and less like a gift. A gift is, they didn't do anything to earn this. I just want to express my love. And I hope that they like it. I'm going to express some humility by just giving it to them. They can do whatever they want with it. I just want to express what's in my heart. But a gift needs humility to accept as well. Why are you giving this to me? What are you saying about me? In order for sinners to accept the gift of God, they have to be humble. Lord, turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And God demonstrated that. He modeled that by giving his only begotten Son. He gave us the greatest gift we could ever receive. But it takes humility for us to accept it. Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. This is the crucifixion of Christ. There were two thieves crucified on either side of him. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I don't think this thief fully understood everything that Christ had to teach about the gospel. But he did have the heart condition and the attitude that is required for salvation. He never had a godly life. He never did any good works that religion says you need to do. But he did receive eternal life because he was humble. He had that humility that was necessary. It takes humility to accept God's free gift of salvation. God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for wicked sinners. Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the Bible teaches. It is offensive when sinners refuse God's gift, but I'm thankful that God is long-suffering. It takes humility for sinners to accept God's gift of salvation, because we have to acknowledge that we need it. We have to acknowledge that we are sinners and have violated God's law. We must acknowledge that we cannot earn heaven. We must accept Christ's death on Calvary as our only payment. If we're going to be saved, we must humble ourselves. And people don't like to humble themselves. We don't like that. Our pride rebels against that. So I would ask you, have you humbled yourself? Have you cried out to God like the publican did in parable? God, be merciful to me. If we're as good as we tend to think we are, we don't need mercy. I don't need to ask for God's mercy. I don't need to ask for that gift. I've earned good treatment from God, but that's pride speaking. truth says I am a sinner. I do need God's mercy. I do need to accept his free gift of salvation. And if you will humble yourself in faith and repentance, you will receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The connection between gifts and humility. And I'll take this a step further. If you've been saved and you know God, you did humble yourself, you are a child of God, have you humbled yourself to give the gospel to those around you? Take some humility to do that too. When I have a tract in my hand to tell somebody about the gospel, here, would you read this? I'm extending a gift of sorts. If I'm trying to start a conversation with somebody, to share the gospel with them, I'm putting myself out there. And if I'm thinking right, I'm doing it because I care for their soul. I'm not just, not because I have to, not so I can say I did it, but I care for their soul. I'm extending myself. I'm humbling myself. This is what God says we all need. Will you read this? And I'm risking some rejection there. Take some humility to do that. It may be rejected, and you may be rejected. But witnessing to others is an opportunity for the saints to exhibit humility by giving the word of life. Well, I'm not comfortable with that, so I'm not going to humble myself. There is humility in giving gifts. There's humility needed in receiving gifts. And this Christmas, let us humbly give thanks to God for his perfect gift to sinners. If we don't humble ourselves and accept it, if we're not thankful for it, we probably haven't accepted it. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. If you've been saved, you can't say enough about it. You can't praise God enough for it. You can't put into words what it means to be forgiven, to be pardoned of your sins, to know God personally, to be able to walk with him, to be able to be involved in his work. It's hard to put that into words. You're so thankful that you've been saved. But it takes humility to accept that gift. It takes humility to give gifts. Let us humble ourselves and give ourselves to God so that he can use us however he sees fit. But what if he just... No, humility. Giving our life to the Lord. And in so doing, give ourselves to serving others. That's what Christ did for us. He humbled himself. We ought to humble ourselves. That's the connection between gifts and humility. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us gifts. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So many applications of God for giving good gifts unto men. Lord, help us to accept those gifts. Help us not to disregard them, to overlook them, to reject them. Help us to humbly accept them and be thankful for them, because we know that they are good. We may not see it right away. We may not understand, but we know that it is good. But sometimes you give us the gift of a flat tire, the gift of a physical injury, and we don't see how it could possibly be good. But when we accept it in humility, then we do see the blessing in it. Help us to give gifts with humility. Help us to accept your gifts with humility. Lord, when we do that,